does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it all.
I will be honest with you, it feels almost unnecessary to have an introduction for our next guest. He is a basketball icon in the state of Indiana, and you will never meet, and I can tell you that as sure as today is Thursday, you will never meet anybody who saw him play that will tell you anything other than Rick Mount is the greatest shooter they have ever seen in the game of basketball. He was, of course, on the 1969 Purdue team that made the Final Four. They got all the way into in the Final Four, the national championship game, before dropping to UCLA. But Rick Mount joins us on the program now. Rick, it is a true pleasure. How are you?
Okay, Jay. How you doing?
You know what? I'm excited for Purdue. I'm excited for their fans and, you know, just this run. Excited to talk to you as well. So let's begin with this. I mean, you are, you know, one of the, if not the all-time great at Purdue, and now you get a chance to see your alma mater in the Final Four. First off, just your reaction about where they are now and your thoughts on the job Matt Painter's done.
Oh, Matt's a great coach, and he's done a great job bringing these guys to where they are right now. And the team is playing well. I think they got their first five, and they got Gillis, and they got Heidi, and they got Coleman at the other three spots. They got eight guys that can play and get it done. So I think they're going to be okay.
When you look back, Rick, on your time playing for Purdue, and, you know, I had read, and I don't know if this is true or not, that you ended up at Purdue, obviously, close to home, right there near Lebanon. I thought I read somewhere that maybe Miami was another school where you were thinking about going, but obviously it worked out for you at Purdue. What are your overall memories, I guess, and just your sentiments in general of being a Boilermaker?
Well, you know, it was the fan. I remember Red Mackey. I went in and had a meeting with him on my visit, and he was the athletic director. He's the one that started all this Mackey Arena. And it was the offices were there, but it was just a big hole, you know. And so he says, this is my dream, Rick, and we want you to be part of it. And it turned out to be that I was part of it. And we got it going. We had the dedication game with UCLA, and we almost beat them. And there was, like, I always remember this, Bob King was an assistant coach at Purdue, and he was downstairs on the floor. He told me this story, talking with a guy, and the guy says, I don't know if they're going to let you play, Bob, because you probably got 16, 17,000 in there and only held 14, 123. And he says, the fire marshal might shut this game down. He said, bull crap. He's sitting right over there on the front row. So they wasn't going to shut the game down. He had front row tickets and the fans. That's where it all started, with the fans and the crazy. And teams hated to come to Purdue to play because of the fans. And they were great.
Rick, what do you remember most about that run by you and the Boilermakers in 69?
Well, see, back then you only played 32 games instead of 68 now or something like that. And we started out in the Mideast Regional in Wisconsin, and we played Miami, Ohio, and Kentucky played Marquette. And we won, and Marquette beat up on Kentucky pretty good, but that's where it started, right there. And I always remember this. you know, you need a little luck once in a while to get that far to the final game. You got to have a little luck, too. So we're playing Marquette with Al McGuire. And Al McGuire was a fiery guy. He was really fiery. And he came by George King at the half. We had him down a little bit. And I'm getting some rosin on my hand. And he turns and gets right in George King's face and says, "Now we're going to kick your ass." And George says, "You couldn't do it in the NBA. You're not going to be able to do it now." So the game was right down to the wire. It's tied up with 25 seconds to go. And Dean Memminger, you heard of that name.
Yep.
And he's got the ball. He's out there, and he's they're going to hold it for one. They ain't going to give us another. They're not going to give us a shot at it. They're going to take a shot, and if it goes in, they win. Or it goes in overtime. So he shoots one from about 16 feet, comes off the rim, and a big George Faber, the Faber B window, that guy made millions of dollars on that. The guy's starting to put it up with 2 seconds to go, and Faber just grabbed him. So this guy's got two shots, and I always remember this. And if he makes one of them, we lose and we go home. Right before he got the ball, the referee gave him the ball. I'm in the blockout lane. He turns to me and he says, "It's over." He's telling me it's over. So I didn't say anything to him because I wanted him to keep concentrating on what he just said to me, you know. So he puts the first shot up and it hits the neck of the rim, comes off. Now I'm looking at him. I'm not saying anything to him. He won't look at me now. And the second free throw he put up was an air ball. So the game goes in overtime. And I hit that last second shot in overtime to put us in the final four. But, you know, things like that, all you had to do is hit one shot, one free throw, and they beat us, but they didn't.
So, Rick, let me tell you the story George Faber told me years ago.
And he lies a lot. Just remember, he lies a lot. Okay?
That's the best part about George Faber, right? You know what I mean? His windows, his windows are a lot more clear and easy to see through than his stories, right? So,
yeah.
So, Rick, Faber tells me that in that Marquette game at Wisconsin Fieldhouse, you're in overtime. You're getting ready to George King calls a timeout. You're in the huddle. And Faber admits to me, he says, "Jake, we're walking out of that huddle and I can barely walk straight because my knees are knocking because I'm so nervous because there's just the tension and the moment." Yeah. And he said, "I feel this tug at my jersey," and I turn around, and it's Mount. And Mount says something to me. Now, I guess I'll put you on the spot. No, I take that back. I'm not going to put you on the spot by telling you what – I'll just tell you what he told me you said, and I want you to tell me if it's fact or fiction. But just say it's fact because it's such a great story. He said that you basically said, "Hey, Big George, you see all these people in the stands? All of them are still going to read about it in the paper in the morning because they're going to love what they're about to see." And then you went out and hit the shot. True or false?
Similar to that.
Yes.
And think about George Faber, a guy named Thompson. You heard of that guy. He played in the ABA.
Yep.
He was on Marquette, too. Now he's got it on the wing with 25 seconds to go in the overtime. And
George Thompson, by the way. Yep.
George Thompson, yeah. And Faber's guarding him. Faber gets on his knees and steals the ball from him with about 14 seconds to go. So we got it, timeout, just like you said. And George says, "Well, we're gonna run it down to about 8 seconds, and Mount's going to get the ball, and he's going to shoot it. And if he misses overtime, if he hits it, we're in the final four." And then I said something to George about that story he told you.
Beautiful.
And so we let it go down to about six. And in George's custom ways, I'm not going to say what he said, but the head coaches told me this, that damn it, they waited too long like that. And I get the ball. Jerry Johnson sets a little pick over there, and I get off on it, and about 23-footer, and get nothing but that, and we're in the Final Four.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Rick, you know, when you grow up in Indiana, Rick Mount is our guest. When you grow up in Indiana, there are, I think before you learn to ride a bike in this state, before you learn your ABCs, you learn two facts. The first is that Rick Mount was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in high school. Only a female swimmer had done that before as a high school athlete. And the other is that Rick Mount once in a pregame could tell that the rim was cocked and went up to the officials in Iowa and said, look, the rim's bent. And they got out a ladder and a ruler and they said, I'll be damned, he's right. How in the world could you tell that a rim was bent? And take me through that story.
I've shot on so many rims. But it happened in the Final Four. We go in on Wednesday for a shoot around at Freedom Hall.
Yeah, it happened twice, right?
Yeah, and we go in there, and they just put the rims up. And I told George, I said, that one rim down to that north end down there is down in on the right-hand side. You better tell that guy that. And he goes down and tells that guy, the guy, I said, and he comes back over there, and he says, kiss his ass. I said, well, then kiss his ass, get his level out, and put the level on there, and it was off. So he got it straightened out, that guy, the maintenance guy. And that's how that story was. But you've shot, you know, I shot so many shots and millions of shots, maybe millions, that I every time I'd look, I could tell if it was even or what.
You guys blow away, you know, obviously Carolina in the Final Four. You get into the national championship game against UCLA. And I'm curious for you, Rick Mount, you know, in the years since then, how often you think about, because I know Purdue fans do, you know, The reality is your teammate Chuck Babis is hurt. I mean, he's your center, right? He's unavailable. Gilliam's hurt. Billy Keller's dinged up. How much do you lose sleep still to this day occasionally over what could have been if you'd been healthy?
Well, you know, go back to that North Carolina game with Dean Smith. You know, they come out of the ACC all hepped up and Charlie Scott, you know, they got Charlie Scott, a couple 7-footers and things. But in an article when we were down there, they were interviewing Gene, the coach, the North Carolina coach. And he never mentioned Purdue's name in this article. All he could talk about is how he was going to hold Lou Alcindor and what they were going to do against Lou Alcindor and all this bull crap, you know. And that, you know how that goes, because, you know, Keller and Game and Davis and myself, we were pretty competitive. So we come out and beat them 92-67. So that got us into the final game, and we were dinged up. Bavis got hurt in the Mideast Regional. He tore something in his chest and cartilage or whatever it was. And Gilliam had a bad leg, and Keller had some problems, and I had a few problems. So we won at full strength, and we played them out there in California. The first game of the season, they beat us 5 points out there at Pauley Pavilion. And, you know, they beat us 1 point at Purdue. So this would be the third time we'd played them. And the bad thing about it, Jerry Johnson, he was about 6'9", weighed about 165, 175. There's no way he was going to hold Lou Alcindor away from that basket. Now, Bavis could. You know, they always talked about Bavis. And Bavis, he kind of got the short end of the deal with us, because we, you know, with Gilliam and Keller and myself, we were perimeter offensive team, you know. And Bavis, he scored 12 and 10. But he got kind of shortchanged a little bit. But he would have played. He would have got a chance to play in the NBA, I think. So we had four guys that were pro players. So, but you know, anytime, and I think this team right now, Smith said it pretty well last week. We are on a mission. And I loved when he said that because we were on a mission too. We didn't talk trash. We didn't make fun of people. When we got between those lines and laced them up, we were going to beat your ass. That's what it was all about. And so, but Big Lou was in the way, and we were runner up. And I, Jake, I tell you, nobody remembers who was runner up. You got to win it, and that's what I'm saying about Purdue. If they don't win it and if they get beaten in the championship game, they're always saying Connecticut, Connecticut, Connecticut. They won't mention Purdue's name unless you're in Mackey Arena or something like that watching the game. So it was fun, and we went a long way, and we just didn't get it done all the way.
Rick, I know it's, you know, obviously – it's kind of apples and oranges because of so many factors, games played, years played. I mean, obviously you couldn't play as a freshman back in those days, but the reality is that Zach Edey is now statistically the leading scorer in Purdue history. His journey has been fascinating to watch. Just what is your overall reaction in seeing your record eclipsed and watching Zach Edey represent Purdue?
Well, not, you know, I don't hold against Zach Edey. He set... Here's the way I feel about it, and I don't want to sound sour grapes, but apples to oranges, yeah, but apples to apples, no. I played 72 games and had 23-23, and I think he went by me at, what, 140 games. And I don't hold that against him. He set his own – what I feel, he's in my mind, he set his own record of 140 games. He's the leading scorer. I'm not going to – you know, the guy's a great player, a college player. And so, great. I had it for 54 years. So, and the thing is, nothing against the players that played there, but – a lot of those players had a 140-game career. And I can't believe it wasn't broken before then, you know. I'm not knocking anybody, but it's but I don't know. It was great, and they're on a roll. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if anybody can get 61, though. That's a lot of points.
And I'll tell you what, double figures for 72 consecutive games, 46 games with 30 or more for Rick Mount. Obviously a prolific career. I'm curious of this. I know you still put up shots. I know you still teach kids how to shoot the basketball. You still try to get the right fundamentals for shooters. When Rick Mount watches basketball in 2024 and looks back on since when you were playing to now, the best shooter Rick Mount has seen is who?
Me?
Yes. Yes.
I don't see anybody better than me. I am being cocky because I could do it. But gosh, I don't know. It's kind of I had to think on that a while.
Well, here's the thing: a lot of people have to think on that a while, right? If you tell people the best shooter not named Rick Mount, they're like, I don't know. I got to think about it. Steph Curry probably comes to mind because of the quick release, but just in terms of pure fundamental, right?
Yeah, I'm jumping up over people and stuff like that. You know, but, you know, some people say, well, who do you think was the best shooter ever? Now, well, Jimmy Rail's going to say me. It's Jimmy Rail. Alfred's going to say him, and I'm going to say me. But I said that's why they make McDonald's and small – little pubs and bars and barber shops and stuff, so everybody can go in and argue who was the best shooter to ever live. And that kind of so, but it was fun, and Purdue was a great place. And what I love about Purdue is their fans. They had great fans, and we had, you know, we got beat by Iowa in the Big Ten my senior year, and I'd have to look it up, but we only lost three games in that place in 3 years, and we had a, like a 33-game winning streak till Iowa beat us 1 point at the end of my senior year. That's pretty good. And I had really good players with me, though. You got to remember that.
Rick, lastly, what's your plan for the game? I mean, are you going to be going out to Phoenix, or do you just you going to just stay around so you can go to the barbershop and talk about it the day after for the Final Four? Rick Mount's Purdue plans on watching the Boilers is what?
Well, I'm going to get me an iced tea. I'm going to come in my office here, and I'm going to watch the game, sit in my easy chair.
That is good living right there, right?
Well, I don't have to mess with anybody, you know, and people ask me, what do you think and stuff. I'm just sitting here and cuss a little bit and yell a little bit.
Absolutely beautiful. Rick, I'll tell you what, man, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. You know, one of the great things about teams making runs is it allows us to then talk about other great players and great moments in the school's history, and you absolutely are a pillar amongst that and with Indiana basketball as well.
Appreciate it, Jake.
Appreciate it very much. Rick Mount, the Rocket, and, of course, Mr. Basketball, the pride of Lebanon. Still, you see it if you're driving on 65. The name right there, Rick Mount for Lebanon, Indiana.